Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Oh, yes, you can have it all. So a Michelob Light commercial told us circa 1985. But here's the thing about Michelob Light commercials. They're beer commercials. The beer industry is are the same people who brought us the concept that a Staffordshire Terrier in a Hawaiian shirt was the original party animal. I don't know whether we should trust those people. You can have it all, so they say. It seems to me like an easily falsifiable premise. I think it was disproved by Euclid 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. Yet there is still this debate. A robust debate on the pages of the Atlantic magazine, here on this program yesterday, all around daytime TV. It is framed thusly, can women have it all? And I was just beginning to think how much of the problem with the problem, or how much of the discussion about the debate, is just the framing of the concept. Who can really have it all? It seems all but impossible. It's the sort of phrase that begs clarification, trimming out here and there, addending somewhere else. Where did this phrase come from? Is it really useful to anyone? And do you think it's driving this debate off a cliff, or at least into a cul-de-sac that's hard to get away from? This is a quantum phrase, having it all. And we'll be discussing this with anyone who thinks that they're frustrated with the phrase, or thinks that the phrase perhaps harkens to an ideal from a little while ago. Our number is 212-433-9692. 212-433-WNYC. Have you had it up to here with having it all? Stephen Colbert was speaking to noted social commentator. Stephen Colbert was speaking to Anne-Marie Slaughter. She's the one who wrote the cover story in The Atlantic about the impossibility of having it all. And Mr. Colbert, or at least his TV persona, jumped on an interesting part of that argument.
What is it that women can't have all of? Because I hear that phrase a lot, and I don't know what it means.
So it is having the same career choices to be able to have a career and a family,
yeah,
as a man does. So having it all.
Why can't you have it?
It's a choice.
Do you have free will?
Do you have free will? Yep. But you need
have all of it.
Well, in the first place, women are still doing 2/3 of the housework.
But don't.
And 2/3 of the child care.
But don't do that. Don't do that.
I don't. Right.
Stephen Colbert, who is noted as a family man. There he's talking about the it. On this program, I think it was yesterday, Catelyn Moran talked about another part of the phrase, having it all. Can a woman have it all? And she jumped on that word, woman.
Can women have it all? Can you be the CEO of Yahoo and still have it all? And I love how that's always a question that's focused at women. It's like, along with doing the school run and having lovely hair and attending to our manicures and stuff, on top of this, we're supposed to work out how to have it all. And to me, that seems to be more of a concern of society. Like, you know, women shouldn't have to work this out because we are pregnant and busy. You know, whole countries need to work out how women can do more in the workplace because we need the brain power there.
Can women have it all, framed as women as opposed to perhaps men? And I read the Anne-Marie Slaughter article in The Atlantic. It didn't seem in the article that her central premise was what she actually just told Stephen Colbert, that it is women having it all as opposed to the male contribution. It just seemed about how there were notes in the article about how most men don't have the same problem, or she said it's going to be controversial, but most men don't feel that they're failing if they put child care aside as women do. But that wasn't the main gist of the article. So it was interesting to me to hear her tell Stephen Colbert that the central gist of her argument is that, you know, women are still doing more than men, as opposed to, you know, just how hard it is for women as, you know, just basic members of society to have it all. There's another article in the New York Times Magazine talking about idleness, which seemed to be about just how busy all people are in their everyday life. Perhaps that dovetails into what we're talking about. Well, I wanted to invite onto the show a woman I heard speaking about not just the phrase having it all, but the phrase, the twin phrase, which is that work-life balance phrase. Sonia Bain is a commercial real estate lawyer and partner in the New York office of Troutman Sanders. Hello, Sonia.
Hello.
And I wanted to have you on because I was you were given an award as a top woman in real estate. I was there accompanying another one of these top women who happened to be my wife. And you said something that struck both of us as kind of interesting, which is you don't like the work-life balance phrase either, right?
I don't. I think, Mike, your topic and discussion about the language that we've all been working with and using and trying to work our lives around, I think it's outdated. It doesn't work. I mean, I always get irked whenever there's a conversation or discussion about work-life balance, because what I said in this, that speech, and what I really feel is, like, that just implies something. I think of a scale, and I think about, you know, the scales being even. And when you think of those scales as work on one side and home life on the other, you know, just to keep it even and steady is, you know, you're doing just enough to keep those parts of your life balanced. And what I said was, you know, if I gave just enough at work, I'd fail. If I gave just enough at home, I'd fail. I mean, it's more of a tipping of work-life situation. There's never a balance per se. You have to sometimes compromise and settle on both ends to really do either job well.
Yeah.
And so I think the language is just outdated and doesn't work, and it doesn't really fit my life, at least.
Yeah, and it makes it seem that if you do some excellent parenting one day, well, then all of a sudden you're out of balance. Or if you close that big deal and maybe it took an extra 2 hours, that how could you not feel guilty? Because there's this scale in the back of your mind. And so success
right.
in one area has to tip the other area over. What's a phrase, there another phrase you like?
So there was a phrase that I heard discussed at a panel of women CEOs at a women's event that my firm holds, and I thought it really rung true, and I thought more realistic was the work-life integration. And that, to me, it just hit home better than the work-life balance discussion. I think, you know, we have to integrate our lives. Some days we're going to give all to the deal at the office and spend a week, you know, at the office pretty much and making sure, you know, and the kids at home will not see mommy for a few days. And then, you know, you take a day off like I'm doing today and spending it with the kids because the past week has been so crazy at work. And I've integrated both those lives in a way that works better. And there's no balance discussion, and there's no balancing act. It's just today is going to be all about my kids.
Well, let me thank you for not allowing us to tip the balance, but for you integrating this show into your life. I didn't know you were with the kids today. I want to thank you very much for your time. Thanks, Sonia.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye.
And we'll take another call. Martin from Ridgewood, New Jersey. You're on the air. Hello, Martin.
Hi, this is Martin.
Go ahead.
I'm having trouble hearing you. Yeah, I'm reacting to the concept itself.
Yeah.
The concept of having it all just flies in the face of the only known sort of empirically demonstrated model for clinical depression, which is referred to as learned helplessness.
Mm-hmm.
Learned helplessness is, by definition, having a need that cannot be attained. So the very concept of having it all, since, as you mentioned before, it's totally unattainable, that the attempt to do that will always lead to failure in some area, and that's actually pretty risky from the point of view of developing depression.
Recipe for disaster. So let's say someone comes in, a working mom, any mom, even a male, and says, you know, here's my problem. I feel overwhelmed because I want to have it all, but I have to give in this area of my life or that area of my life. What do you tell that person?
Well, depending on how able they are to look at their overall life situation, I could say anything from very briefly, the secret of happiness is decreased expectations. That's also been demonstrated. I mean, the happiest people in the world in international studies are people in countries that have the lowest expectations. And then in a more general way, I'd have to go over every single one of these activities
yeah.
and get them to evaluate which ones are really the most important, and over and over repeat the fact that, well, it's actually not possible to attain this abstract idea of having everything in your life.
And so does it help the person to not just vaguely think about what their expectations are, but if they embrace the concept in a healthy way of decreased expectations, to say, so think about what you want out of your interaction with your kids and think about what you want out of your interaction with work. And it might be helpful not to say, I want to, become president of the company and double its profits as soon as possible. Does it help to be very tangible in your goals just to get your head around this depressing concept?
Absolutely. I think you have to be totally pragmatic. And the way to do that is to say to yourself, well, 10 years out, if you achieve this goal at work, what's the possible impact in your home life and your family life? Can you imagine your child being left this, that, or the other?
All right.
Would you be willing to make that trade-off?
Well, thanks
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to – that makes sense. And thank you for your not even 50-minute hour this time, Martin.
Thank you for bringing it up.
You got it. Our number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Lisa in Edison, New Jersey. You're on WNYC. Welcome.
Hi, this is Lisa. This idea of having it all is just a way of keeping people pursuing this idea of perfection that is not attainable. Having it all really just means what's important to you, and that comes back to finding out where you need to be in your life at that point.
Right.
And all of these other ideas that are kind of being pushed upon, I mean, in women specifically, I have a master's degree. I have 5 children. I know that I make much less money than I would had I made other choices, but I knew that I wasn't going to have it all. So
right.
I decided what it was important for me to have at different stages of my life.
Right. But if, and this isn't exactly what you're saying, but if, during the dawn of the women's liberation movement, if they kind of adopted the ideal of just be happy with what you have, well, then there wouldn't be pushing for what we now talk about as work-life integration. If people were just satisfied with what they had and didn't think that they could make inroads professionally while at the same time being mothers, then, progress would be thwarted. It's not exactly what you're saying, but, just saying let's be happy with what you have sounds a little like a platitude.
Well, no, not be happy with what you have, but know yourself enough to know what's going to make you happy at that stage of your life.
That's right. Thank you for the call, Lisa. So some critical self-assessment, that's what Martin was saying, and to be specific about it. Let's talk about the next generation. Grace, I've heard that children are the future. Are you one of those children?
Yes, I am.
How old are you?
I'm 16 years old.
And tell me your take on having it all and what messages you get from that phrase, and if you hear it a lot.
Well, I hear it a lot. I feel like with girls my age, we are automatically imbued with the sense that we need to have it all. You look at the media, look at romantic comedies. As soon as the woman who's the main character in the romantic comedy isn't happy until she has the guy at the end in the hope for a romance, even if she's insanely successful.
That's right. She's always in a pencil skirt with 7 books in her hand, going to the curb, and then a taxi splashes her with water. Cut to the last scene. Somehow her hair is no longer in a bun. She's been liberated by the man.
Exactly. Yeah. And I just feel like that's kind of putting a sense of this need for girls to not only have the work, they need to be successful to make their forebears who were pioneers in women's right movement proud, but then they also need to have the family and the perfect husband and the perfect looks. And I think that any girl my age who decides, well, I don't want a family, I want a career, or I don't want a career, I want a family, they're automatically looked at with some disdain. They're automatically strange. You need to have it all.
Well, good job. Good job for sticking up for the next generation there, Grace. I think you get it. Thanks
Thank
very
you.
Much. Let's go to, Grace just mentioned the romantic comedy, the most bankrupt of genres, in my opinion. But there was one expert at it, the late, great Nora Ephron. And I think this is a graduation speech that she recently gave. And she touched upon the subject of having it all.
This is a season when a clutch of successful women who have it all get up and give speeches to women like you and say, to be perfectly honest, you can't have it all. Well, maybe young women don't wonder whether they can have it all any longer, but in case any of you are wondering, of course you can have it all. What are you going to do? Everything is my guess. It will be a little messy, but embrace the mess.
Well, that's optimistic, and we heard the crowd cheering. They seemed to like it. That was from the Wellesley graduation. I think it was the class of 96. Kylie in Montclair, New Jersey. Welcome to
Hi.
WNYC. Hi.
So I just wanted to offer, I guess, a little bit of a caution that, you know, that this conversation not be over-intellectualized or even sensationalized. I think that there is a real tension that women have, that young women have, in really trying to figure out what they actually want to do. And so as a 33-year-old, you know, doctoral candidate, there is a real tension for me to balance my professional aspirations and then, you know, what kind of home and household that I want to have. And if you look at people's experiences coming out of college, by the time you come out of college, maybe work for a couple of years and then go back to graduate school, you're talking about women who are in their late 20s or early 30s who for the first time are really stopping to say, okay, now I actually have some options. Because if you want to be a lawyer, then you have to go to law school. So after law school might be the first time you really have a chance to say, okay, what do I actually want to do? And I just think that that is a real tension that shouldn't be, you know, dismissed in terms of like societal romantic comedies, society's notions of femininity. I think there is a real challenge for people, particularly for women, to figure out this professional, personal balance.
Oh, yeah, and every choice. I mean, you just detailed one phase in life. Sure, in your mid-20s, you go back to graduate school, but as the Anne-Marie Slaughter talked about, if you have your children early, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Hillary Clinton and a few others she mentioned, you could really start kick-starting your career possibly when you're 40 and the kids are a little older. A lot of women don't do that. They start on their career, then they stop to have children. But, you know, it's not always strategic. In fact, I'll go as to say it's often not strategic. You know, life happens. And no one's saying that these aren't really tough choices. I just wanted to talk about the phrases that we use to discuss them. But thanks for the call, Kylie. And let me get one more thought in here. Ethan called from Brooklyn to remind me of an old Stephen Wright joke. You can't have everything. Where would you put it? And Sonata from Haverstraw, New York. Sonata, can you very quickly tell me what you want to say?
Yes, that I always was offended by the phrase to begin with because nobody uses that phrase to describe a man. It's just taken for granted. And it's almost like, oh, how unusual a woman wants to have a career and a personal life. You know, as if, you know, as a human being, I think you would want both those things.
Yeah, that's true. Thanks for your call. We took as many calls as we could, but we couldn't have them all because, as they say, that's life. Thanks for all your calls today. We'll be speaking again in the next hour. I'm Mike Pesca in for Brian Lehrer, and this is WNYC.